Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. A small, Belfast-based telecoms company never dreamed that within 3 years it would connect 85,000 rural Irish homes and businesses with high-speed broadband, and still save more than $6 million and 500 hours per week while they did it. When Fibra started in 2019, they decided to forget traditional work habits, no spreading paper maps on the hoods of trucks. Using the lens of geography, the company modernized its services. Cade Wilkinson, head of planning at Fibris, says digital transformation was the key to its success.
You can't print out a paper map for all of Northern Ireland and say, there's the plan on the page, go build that. You need to be able to zoom in to smaller portions, have an information readily available for the guys and girls on the ground who are actually building the network. And the only way to do that was geospatially.
Cade Wilkinson explains to Esri's John Lenihan how location technology resulted in a modernized workforce and reliable connectivity for Northern Ireland's rural community.
Hi, Cade, and welcome to Esri and the Science Aware podcast.
Hey, John. Thank you very much for having me.
So Fibris is a pretty new company. You opened your doors around 2019. Can you tell our listeners about what Fibris actually does?
So we are a telecoms provider primarily in the north of Ireland and parts of England. We deliver fixed line telecoms, or what we call FTTP, fiber to the premise, across both Northern Ireland and parts of England.
You founded in 2019, and then in 2020, you get this contract from the government of Northern Ireland. Can you tell us about that journey and how that kickstarted the use of geospatial technology?
Yeah, like you said, we started in 2019, primarily focusing on small towns across the north of Ireland. In 2020, we won a massive project, what we call Project Stratum, which is one of the first government-funded projects to deliver to rural homes across the north of Ireland. So the government contract was for 81,000 total premises, and we won that contract by producing a very attractive bid and winning the work from the Department for the Economy. So by winning that project, it really did kickstart a lot of our geospatial learnings, kicked off a lot of understanding about what we needed to do in order to be successful in the project and ultimately deliver a project that will be on time and in budget.
Was that all of Northern Ireland or certain portions?
No, it was spread across the entire country. So that was everywhere from Belfast to Derry to Armagh. It's in rural settings, so these are the hardest to reach premises. What it was aimed to do was to get premises that had been previously, quote unquote, left behind by other providers, to the effect that they were getting speeds which would be genuinely unsuitable for the likes of streaming, television shows, gaming, whatever the case is. These people, especially after COVID, the amount of people working from home, they did not have sufficient internet to live or work in their homes, which is one of the main drivers for the government to award the contract to start delivering to these 80,000 homes.
Here in the U.S., we often refer to that as the digital divide. Is that a term that's widely used across Northern Ireland as well?
Yes, and it's very much a thing that we keep at the ethos of Fibris in order to say that is our sole focus in delivering to homes and bringing everybody on that journey with us, so we're able to provide them the internet speeds that they need to live and work. I think telecoms is transitioned from more of a nice to have to being more of an absolutely necessity.
That's a good transition, because Fibris, being a relatively new company with a modern approach and leveraging technologies heavily, how did that help you make this pivot to adopt a digital approach to utilities and telco across Northern Ireland?
At the very beginning of Fibris, like I said, we were focusing on some of the towns that were originally left behind by some of the bigger utility providers. So it was, as with any startup, really, the main goal is to get your network in the ground, start delivering premises, and start making a return on your investment. Now, that was okay to do with the smaller towns that we were delivering, but whenever you win a government contract that is spanning thousands of square kilometers, taking a paper approach to a project of that size would have been illogical, unsustainable, environmentally unsound, all of those things. So we really use the government-funded contract to really drive a lot of our infrastructure, all of our contractors, to start using a more geospatial approach, which really was the only suitable way to move forward in, with a project of this size. It would have absolutely crippled us if we would have continued on with the paper map version again. You can't print out a paper map for all of Northern Ireland and say, there's the plan on the page, go build that. You need to be able to zoom in to smaller portions, have an information readily available for the guys and girls on the ground who are actually building the network. And the only way to do that was geospatially.
Within Fibris, did you go in and make the case to the C-suite?
Yes, we had to do that at the very outset of the project. Like I said, one of the main drivers was to be able to pitch to both our C-suite as well as all of our investors and contractors the reason for why paper maps would be so unsustainable and why we needed to take a geospatial approach. Some of the biggest benefits that we saw was the ability to attach photographs directly into layers on a map. By doing that, it has enabled us to get away from a lot of Excel spreadsheet tracking to be able to be that one-stop shop for all of our data and all of our photographs.
So Kate, is it fair to say that you are actually using visuals to help the C-suite understand the scope of the project and how you wanted to approach it?
Absolutely. That was one of the main selling points for them was we more or less created a PowerPoint presentation to pitch to our C-suite and our investors why we wanted to go down a geospatial route. It was the main things were, imagine this. So if you're a guy or a girl on the ground and you built a piece of fiber cable, what you would generally do is highlight with a yellow highlighter on that piece of paper and say, I built that, right? Now you have no way of knowing that you actually built that unless someone were to go out on the ground or reference photographs that would be stored offline. So what we had done is we generated generated as part of that PowerPoint to show our investors in our C-suite. You can also attach photographs and say, here's a picture of that fiber cable on that pole or in that chamber. It was very beneficial for our investors in C-suite to be able to see that benefit directly on the screen in layman's terms. Once we got those foundations in place, it really did facilitate the deployment and how many homes we were able to pass on a monthly and yearly basis to meet our contractual milestones.
So speaking of hard work, you've convinced the C-suite. Now you have to persuade the workforce. How did guy from the office persuade them to change their habits and how they went about their day-to-day work?
Yes, very good question. Now, so we had to start basically at the very high levels is getting all of my bosses and their bosses and all of our investors on board by specifying, guys, this is the benefit of what you'll be able to do and the benefits that our partners, both our design partners and our build partners would be able to see by taking a geospatial approach. This is the approach that we're going to be going down, and we need everybody to be on board with it. Now, I'm not going to say that there was not pushback initially, because like you said, the people on the ground are very used to the way that they did things. It was very easy for the guys or girls on the ground to use by making it as simple as possible. If they go and build a fiber cable again, they're able to drop down, click on one single attribute, change it from planned to built, and then it prompts them to attach a photograph. Then they're able to take the necessary photographs that they have to for all of our inventory management system. I suppose to answer your question, we started at the very top and we pitched that same benefit that we did to our investors in our C-suite within Fibris and had them do the exact same within all of our business partners from the top down the ways and explain the benefit both from a financial but also a time saving consideration.
And then once you get through that hesitation to use the tools and the technology, they really saw the benefits, really helped them do their job more efficiently and effectively.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was that filtered into a lot of the project milestone tracking, right? So you want to track how many poles you've actually put in the ground, right? You're not reliant on someone going in and populating the Excel. It also benefited people in the back office and the project reporting to make sure that the project was on time and within budget. Something I also forgot to mention there was the benefit that we had pitched to the guys and girls on the ground via their bosses was ultimately there has been a big shift to get away from paper maps. And there's been a big focus on data integrity and ultimately reducing the amount of work that is required with backend data. By explaining that to the guys and girls on the ground, that this is the direction all utilities companies are going. If you happen to leave or you go work for a different utility provider, you are going to still be asked to use some form of software to track your work and take the photographs, all of that type of stuff. So it really was pitched as more of a personal development opportunity for a lot of the people in order to get a lot of people on board. It wasn't viewed as something we are saying, you must do this, but here is why you should do it. Because if you try and avoid it, your next career, or your next job, you're just going to be asked the exact same thing again. So no time like the present.
Leveling up the workforce. It's great.
And like I said, that did not come without its fair share of pushback in the very early days, but it was actually really surprising to me how quickly all of our partners got on board with doing it, because we had the initial hurdle to get over. But once we got over that initial hurdle, we made it as simple as possible. You change that one attribute from plan to built and you take these photographs. That's all we need the people on the ground to be able to do.
So using software to improve efficiency and eliminate paperwork, those words often make people jittery. It suggests you're cutting jobs, but you didn't do that. What actually happened?
Yeah, exactly. So at the very beginning of our Fibris journey, we started off with that geospatial approach, right? Whenever we won the Project Stratum, we did not hire a huge back-end or administrative workforce to be able to handle a lot of the stuff that you would have, say, 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago, you would have had, all right, I need someone to take this paper. I need someone to digitize it. I need someone to find the photographs. I need someone to upload the information and ultimately close down our full as-builts. We never took that approach. We immediately kicked off the project with the approach of a geospatial. Ultimately, we never hired the people in the first place to do a lot of the administration due to having set up the right processes at the very beginning, essentially. Because if we would have gone down a paper route, you're absolutely correct. We would have still continued to pursue a geospatial approach and then realized halfway through the journey or whenever it was, actually, we don't need this amount of administration or this amount of people to manage the data.
This is an issue that we struggle with in the U.S. You're putting broadband into rural homes across Northern Ireland at the rate of 5,000 a month. What lessons can you share about this process for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. We put so much focus into proper program management of projects prior to going into them. The emphasis on doing your research before you go into a particular town. What are those towns or those counties or those states specific legislation that you need to follow? Therefore, you're able to properly price for them. You're able to properly time for them. And then ultimately, if there's any changes to your system that you need to make, whether it be additional layers to account for network or railroad crossings, so it's flexible enough to add layers so you can then explain if there are changes that need to be done. Here's how we're going to implement them, and here's how it's going to benefit the overall project holistically.
Cade, thanks again for sharing Fibris' geospatial journey, and maybe more importantly, the insights gained by you and the team on selling the value of this approach to your customers, to your organization, and maybe more importantly, the partners that you really rely on to deliver the project. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to Cade Wilkinson for explaining how the success of Fibris was only possible with location technology. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.